やはり こうしてみるとアカデミ
アの Thank you very much. Yes, academician viewpoint is important, isn't it? Don't you agree? Yes, it's very provocative, very refreshing. Whatever peace message it is, as Ms. Maekita showed us at the video clippings at the end of her presentation, that was the one appeal, certainly.And reconstructed image, that's true. It's reconstructed images and messages. So what is the best way? We want to tell the truth. We practitioners, I was going to say again, but I have not now become an academician, but we believe that practitioners know better about the reality, but what the practitioners say is only an experience of one individual, one argument by only one individual, Desmond. So to provide objectivity, academia should be able to play a role. However, practitioners believe that academician does not know the reality. So how can we bridge this gap?And the general public can feel the dubiousness and can see the gap. So when there is a campaign, they decide whether to support or not support. So this is a challenge that the practitioners have to deal with. Any reactions? I think options should be provided. There must be...room for selection. So when the practitioners are asked what could be done, first of all, we have to display the information. And of course, we were provoked to do so. So for peace advertisement, whether it is text or image or blog or website, we have to update and upload all the informations. We have to display, upload all the informations to show. We look at onedimension and try to communicate. One person can provide different dimensions and different perspectives, but if more person starts communicating, then it would be more information. If some people talk about Sudan, for example, then there would be diverse perspectives and diverse messages. Professor Isazaki said that academia might be able to provide objectivity, but at the same time, bird's eyeviewness or the perception of birds might be provided. Overall, big perception might be provided. And even the novice, the laypersons, might also be able to take a bird's eye view. That might be better. Or what else could be done? Media literacy, mass communication. What are the roles? In Japan, for example, providers of mass communication are dominated by a handful of companies, and there are indies trying to erode that monopoly. On the website, there are more indies, but the broadcasters are monopolized by a limited number of companies. But using the wiki technology or YouTubes, if more people present their argument and information, if we can see all thoseprovided information from a diverse perspective, then the laypersons, if they wish to, can also have a bird's eye view. Ito-san, same question. The gap between the practitioners and the academician.I'm wondering how to describe this, but what can the academia do in terms of media communication? In one discipline, an academician is researching, and that continuous research is important because it is as if you are covering a particular topic as a reporter for your life. In the media companies, you have to switch from one topic to another topic, but...the strength of the academia is that you can concentrate on a single area. So there should be complementarity between the two camps. As Ms. Maekita mentioned, we want diverse opinions and diverse information to be disseminated. And I do agree, but it's not easy. For one individual, let's say 10 years ago, we didn't have the internet, and we did not have electronic mail, and we can't understand how we managed to live in those days. But then, with the internet and electronic mail, is my life better? But I am spending my whole morning just checking my email now. Is this a better life? Is it a richer life? It is true that there is more information, but are we coming nearer to the truth? Probably I would have to say that I am becoming more distant from truth and reality. In the case of war against Iraq, probably there was the largest amount of information about a war ever in history, but it is not vigil. Now, on the other hand, in the case of Myanmar, there is censor and information outflow is officially blocked, but we imagine more. Now, in the case of Vietnam War, the difference between that war and the recent war is there was a time lag. If you look at the photograph, you can understand, but we have movies, but in Vietnam War, there were still photos only. You had to send the film, you had to develop, print, and then you had to print it on the newspaper. So there was a time lag, there was some time for the people to think and digest about that information. But today, whether you are the sender or the receiver, it's instantaneous, and it's just simply being repeated mechanically, so there is no thinking. I call this absence of thinking, just exchanging information by text or photo and no thinking. So how can we deploy and mobilize our thinking? And how can we control the flood of information? That is another challenge for us. Before taking question from the audience, I have a question to you, Kawasaki-san. Article 9, the concept of Article 9 of our Constitution, could we universalize this across the world? That is the mission of a peace abode. Of course, it's not easy. Throughout your activities and campaign, people might have different ways of thinking. Some people wish to protect Article 9, but that's a political decision for Japan. And because it is a political decision, you have to make it into a political campaign. And people argue that you should campaign, that you should argue for. But in the case of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, again, non-nuclear is a political matter, and there is no common value. It's politicized already. In the 1960s and the 70s, the activists experienced that, and they call for new and different approaches. So what can we do? Please be honest. It's a very difficult, important question. One point I might say is NGOs, and in particular the NGOs that appeared after the 1980s, in particular in Japan, they have tried to be distant from politics. They have endeavored to be independent from politics, and there was good and bad. After 20 years or so, it has been fortunate and unfortunate. On the one hand, they have tried to distance themselves from politics in environmental matters or in poverty. In these universal challenges, NGOs have tried to act independently. Intentionally, they have tried to be away from politics, and there is a lot that we can learn from that positive aspect. On the one hand, in Japan, NGOs have started to become accepted in Japan. Some people have managed to earn their daily revenues. They can meet their ends by doing NGO activities. And what I want to say is, excessive distancing from politics is going too far. That is going to be risky. Going forward, NGOs will have to depend partly on government support and subsidies, and there will be more people working in the NGO fora then. That means if you distance yourselves too much from politics, and you need to have a flexible idea about the mission and the goal of that NGO activities. If you deal with universal global challenges, Then, once again, NGOs even have to think about the political aspect, I would suggest. We talk about global issues, including environment. Amongst the borderless issues, environmental issues and poverties are given top priority. And peace building is always linked with politics and security. And that is why it is lagging behind, not only Japan, but across the world. This is a difficulty. It's very difficult to promote NGO activities and peace building. However, going forward, with environment and with poverty, the civil societies and NGOs have realized a certain degree of success. And now it is time that they start to become involved to a certain degree in politics. And they need the courage to step into the political area. The NGOs also have to partly be involved in the politics, but it's not going back to 20 or 30 years ago. But we have to go to a new phase, so to say. Another point, before we go into Q&A, we spoke about the media. To learn, to know, to teach, to exchange opinions, to exchange the views about how to think about, to exchange how you feel about the matter. That is what the media is all about. For myself, as an NGO activist, as I engage in collaborating, working together with others, beyond that media, you are looking for mobilization of people. After all, if you want to communicate something, your goal is to mobilize people. If you want to abolish capital punishment, then that has to appeal to the audience and that has to lead to action. So, first of all, it's a big hurdle how it is accepted. It's a big hurdle how that message would be communicated. Mr. Ito, Ms. Maekita suggested a lot about how to communicate. And secondly, there is another hurdle, whether people will take action after listening to your message. And that's a higher hurdle, and it's a hurdle of another dimension in approaching peace issues. You have to discuss about those hurdles and going beyond those hurdles as well.
We only have 10 minutes for discussion. We'd like to entertain questions, comments from the floor. Please limit your intervention to just a question. Sometimes a lot of people give too much background. They end up giving comments. We only have 10 minutes for discussion. So please limit your intervention to just your question. Just this five people. So that's all. If I may, I'd like to speak in Japanese. 20 years ago, I was invited to go on the peace boat, and at that time, I was a little skeptical. I refused to go, and I regret my decision very much. So to Mr. Kawasaki, I have a question. Kawasaki-san, you said from reacting to prevention and peace through non-force usage. I completely agree with you, but when you talk about prevention, early warning I think is much discussed recently at the United Nations. If you have interviews, early warning information is often obtained from NGOs. And in that case, non-force usage for peace, I think, is required. But early warning is very important. But through early warning, a lot of times you provide excuses for policymakers to intervene. So sometimes early warning can become risky. What do you think about this? Yamaguchi-san. Thank you very much for your precious comments. Thank you. From Keio University, my name is Kawashima, first year of political science undergraduate. To Mr. Kawasaki, Well, to what extent Article 9, it's political, no matter how far you take it, but one of the appeals the CAM can make, well, we have to go back to invasion of Asia, but Article 9, I don't think it's very convincing for Japan to make an appeal, for example, the Firefly animation that we often see in August. We often hear a lot of things about the sufferings of the Japanese people, but we really don't see much exposure of the atrocities that the Japanese military committed in Asia. We have not been educated that much on the atrocities of the Japanese during World War II. The meaning of Article 9 is to prevent the country of Japan to never ever become belligerent and commit these atrocities. But for Japan to make this appeal on Article 9 without a full education of the atrocities that it committed, is that meaningful? Please limit your question to one question alone. If I may, I'm one of the staff members. I'd like to pose a question as a student. This is for Ms. Maekita. The color book, and you said it was it took much cost to color it, but that's why you left it in monochrome. But I think the fact that it was not finished was what made it attractive. In other words, it made the people participate to want to complete it. My name is Kiba from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. From the viewpoint of a practitioner, I have a lot of questions, actually, practitioners and academicians and the media. I think a lot of people have emphasized the importance of linking the interrelationship between the three parties, and a sense of empathy or sympathy is important. But you need people to implement it, the torchbearers, and I'd like to become one of them. But in order to promote this interrelationship from the producer in the media, what do you think, based on your experience, is most important? Just one more question. Yes. Thank you very much for precious Monson. My name is Nakanashi, third year student in KO. I have a question to Mr. Ito. You talked about preconceptions. And in peace building, civil war, starvation, there are many issues and people are suffering. And this is a reality that I'm sure you want to relay. But in the process, there is inequality in dispatching information. So people who are actually suffering cannot dispatch the information. So the members of the developed countries tend to try to relay the information of the suffering in the developing countries. But in that case, of course, people want to relay the suffering, but there seems to be a lot of discrimination and sometimes preconceptions that hamper proper relaying of the truth because of the inherent bias. So 2 minutes each to the speakers, please.
So let me first answer to the question. There are two questions for me about early warning. I think there are many meanings to that. For instance, intervention or, well, in reality, even developing nations' government in terms of conflict prevention, in international negotiations, they immediately think about intervention. So that is the background that we have. But, well, it's not something that we can say whether prevention is good or bad. It's not something like black or white. But within such an international dialogue, the citizens, unrelated to the army, to the military, the citizens should be able to work together and move towards that direction. We must have a good methodology to do that. In case of peace boat, a few years ago, there was a hostage, a Japanese hostage taken in Iraq, which was very difficult to rescue. It took a long time to rescue. And some of our colleagues in Iraq, a religious leader in Iraq had a connection with one of our colleagues. And through that person, we could get in contact with the local people and the peace boat staff. Went to the Middle East to appear on a TV program of Al Jazeera to tell to the local people that that hostage is not a person of military, is not someone who is hostile. So he talked that we want your cooperation to help that person. And I don't know how much that contributed in rescuing that person, but to expand this kind of network, I think, would be the basics, the fundamentals in thinking about prevention. And number two, Japan may not be reflecting upon what we did in the past, and we are not only talking about Article 9. I have a similar feelings. I understand your feelings. Japan did many wrong things. But I feel that there are many people who are aware and conscious about the bad points or bad things that Japan did. But on the other hand, there are people who say that we don't need Article 9. So from a position of supporting peace and from a different position, both are very serious in saying how Japan is not functioning properly currently. But when we think of a current situation, even though we are aware of that, we are asking you to reconfirm again the value of Article 9. And I believe it is more important to start with that campaign. Of course, we accept criticisms. But rather than saying you should not do such a campaign, I think it is better to say that based on that campaign, there may be many people, many friends, many family who are not interested in that at all, but they are just attracted by the word Article 9 as they come to the campaign. And they say it is good, but they notice that there are many difficult things that we must think, and you should tell that to your friend who is not aware of a problem. Let me confirm the question. I think you mentioned about when we talk about the poverty, rather than the person who is faced with poverty, we'll talk about that. The people around that, that is people of the media, of the developed nations, would talk on behalf of that person. So there's a filter, and because of that, that may create preconditions or preconcepts. Since time was short, maybe I caused misunderstandings. But I don't base myself on assumptions that preconceptions are bad. What I wanted to tell you is that maybe your friends, your girlfriend or boyfriend, or even among scholars, you may wonder why such a logical story cannot be communicated properly. Everyone is thinking in the same way. When we think about logics, then what is different? The difference is that the assumptions that you selected was different. And that is very important in communicating. That is why I talked about the preconception. So, why do you have to correct the preconception? Maybe you should eliminate the preconception because you are not telling to the appropriate target. Or maybe when you listen, hear the information through the media, that is not directly from the person who is sending that information, so there may be a preconception in between. Well, after you go home today, and if you write about this seminar on your blogs, you're all parties to this seminar. However, I think the expressions that you would use in writing about it might be different. Some people may write about how Professor Isazaki is dressed. The way you would write an article about today would be entirely different from person to person. Even though you are here, the way you see the world is entirely different. So to send information or What I mean, the fact is not only one. I use the word today that the world is not one. The world is multifaceted. There are many faces to the world. So, to all information that you want to communicate, you want to communicate as if you're talking directly with someone. Media literacy, you may misunderstand that you should doubt what the media is saying, but the other part is trying to communicate it to you. The media is starting to tell you that it would be good for you to buy this product, for instance. So in case of communication, to understand the assumption would be very important and have a better understanding. So let me start from the easier question. The reason why it is black and white, the question that was good because it was incomplete, yes, I absolutely agree with that. That is the answer to that question. So it is very important that it is incomplete. You must invite feelings for them to be interested on this by themselves. So to be incomplete is a very good technique to invite others and invoke interest on others. And about the practitioner, academician, and media, what is important in connecting them? The people who are not interested, the so-called silent mass. But I believe it's not true. But even people who are silent must have something in their minds. When I make questionnaires, even though they are silent, they say, I don't like war. But they don't say that out loud. Well, Mr. Ito might say that you must try to send more information. But there are many people who don't communicate. But even though they don't tell anything, even Japanese marketing, they are categorized as silent mass. But I don't think that's the appropriate way of calling them. Media makes products, provides expressions, but silent mass is not a silent mass. We must have that belief. You must be able to feel what they are feeling. You may find it strange, but when I look at your faces, I can have an idea of how many people are thinking about what. The skill of knowing what others are thinking. It is important to know that it is possible to have the skill of understanding what others are thinking. You must have a skill and also don't hesitate to provide information, to send information. You must have that ability. But if you don't have that ability and if you provide communication without consideration, you may cause confusion among people. And because of that, people hesitate in communicating. Mass communication, usual people would not make a mass communication. You may be walking around a street in Shinbashi and be interviewed by the media, but that is only opportunity for a general person, for an ordinary person. So how to develop your senses? That is also possible. I have been a copywriter for 20 years. But at first, you're not good at writing that. I didn't know how to do that. I didn't have any hint in doing that. I didn't know how to feel how the silent mass was thinking. But I started this work. So I tried to imitate what my seniors were doing, and I started working. So I was just a layman. But after 10 years, I finally knew how to do my work. But you can develop yourself. People with, you say that some person have a good capacity, some others not. Some people are fashionable, some others not. But they're not that from the very beginning. That means that the person is not yet developed. But if you want, you can develop yourself to a professional in 10 years. I believe you're interested in peace building some way or another. One problem is that there's lack of vocabulary on the subject of peace building. You don't have the necessary tools to do that. So you must first develop yourself to be able to do that, to have more knowledge about peace building. And what is the silent mass thinking about peace building? You must have the ability to understand and feel what the silent mass is saying. And if you're able of doing that in 10 years, that will become a very big, powerful tool. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The PCAs, yes, certainly we have to outreach. We are aware. And that was the starting point of session three, but we are aware that it is not easy. Theoretically, there are a lot of inconsistencies, but we have to try. Outreaching, after all, is political. Inherently, it is a political action. And therefore, it is a reconstructed reality. It is, after all, reconstructed. It is not the real truth. It is reconstructed anyway, and whilst we understand that, and whilst we keep in mind, unless we outreach, PCS is not at all useful. So with this belief, whilst we vacillate and with uncertainty, we have to continue to work as best as we can. In another sense, this session three is an ideal a discourse between practitioners and the academia. So thank you very much, Professor Jun, and thank you very much to our three practitioners. Thank you very much. We will break until 6 o'clock. If you have a question, please write it down on the question form and put it in the box. From 6 p.m., this will be general discussion. Please place your question in the box. Thank you.
それではこれより10分間の休憩に入り。
10 minutes break. If you have a question, please write it on the question form at the front, and there is a box for you to place the question. Thank you.